B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
It's Agenda Free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Chris Gasper joins us for a bonus segment with your calls, as promised. Here's Josh in Manchester on the cheating scandal. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going? First off, I mean, I've played baseball my entire life. I've played through college ball, and then after, I had coaches that were professional coaches as well from time to time, and I affiliates with plenty of people. You know, from the bench coach to the third base coach, every single game, you know, they had some way of stealing signs, and it's always been a part of baseball. The biggest issue is the fact that, you know, right now with the modern technology, that's the issue. The fact that they're doing it in games and they're allowing it to pretty much go through the lineup and say, hey, we already know what it is. This is the issue. And now we have the signs. Now let's go out.
No, that's right. It's the electronic nature of the sign stealing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again,
that's what we've determined the line to be. It's okay to steal signs with your eyes and your brain, but if you use technology, that's the line. It's the line in every sport. That's whole Spygate with Patriots. You're allowed to look at the coaches and see if you can glean anything. You can't tape them and break down the tape. That's the line in every sport.
I mean, you can't prevent people from looking. Like, you know, how do you police that one? So that's not what the issue is. We get it. The question is that they're doing it. And baseball, really, to me, if the Athletic didn't come out with these stories, I'm not sure baseball really would have done all that much.
We've got Taylor in Falmouth on the Pats. Go ahead, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, man? I want to jump back off of baseball for a minute and talk about the Pats. How do you think the past season would have gone this year and maybe the next coming years if we got rid of Brady when we should have back in 2017 after the Super Bowl win?
Yeah, Chris, what if they got rid of Brady when they should have?
They don't win that Super Bowl last year. Sorry, I'm not Chris, but that's obvious.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
They don't go to the Super Bowl against the Eagles. They don't compete in that game, and they don't win it last year against the Rams.
Well, I mean, they definitely don't get the fourth quarter in overtime they got in Kansas City. I just think that that's one of those performances that only Brady can give you. I mean, you know, hostile place, game on the line, tough to find someone better than him in that spot. So, but long term, they might be better off. They would be better off. They would be.
I don't think anything would have changed from this season based on what was around. I mean, again, you guys take it as me discrediting Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's coming off a torn ACL. In the first part of the season for him, he was still getting acclimated to being back. But he has a great offensive line, a great running back, and, you know, much like Tom did this year, a great defense. So the Patriots won, you know, 12 games, didn't do anything in the playoffs. I don't think it's any different with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, but Chris, he has all those things, and you make it sound like he went 9-7.
No, I don't. I just don't think he's as big a part of the successes of the team as you're trying to portray it as. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not telling you he's an enormous part of the team.
Yeah, but you're leaving out, there's been multiple games, at least a handful, where they needed him.
You're right, against the Arizona Cardinals.
And
multiple
he
games
through.
He was awesome against the Cardinals.
So, again, you're lowering yourself.
Everybody,
what about New Orleans?
Everybody lit up.
Kirk Cousins lit up New Orleans.
At New Orleans. Is a big game against a good team, and he had several like that. So you can discount. I mean, I know I can't help you and your issues. I can't help you. But to say that he's been a sidecar all year is just not accurate.
I didn't say he's been a sidecar all year. I said he was a sidecar in the playoff game. And I said that he's benefited from having a great defense and a very good running game. I didn't say he was a sidecar all year. That's not true.
No. But as soon as I say that he's had big games, you immediately say at Arizona.
Yeah. No, he's had big statistical games. But you said there were games where they really needed him to step up, and he lit it up.
Yes. At New Orleans.
And he did. And late in the year against the Rams, and late in the year at Seattle, he's come through in a ton of different spots. He's,
at Seattle, wasn't that the defense that won that game?
He's one of the best third down passers in the game. So, I mean, he's been put in a lot of spots to come through.
I'm not saying he's, like, terrible.
And he came through in a lot of them.
I mean, you know what's interesting to me with this discussion with you guys? Is that, like, you won't define, like, you will defend off anything I say, but you won't define what you think he is. You won't say...
No, I think he's top 10.
Okay, so he's top 10.
Top 10, right. Yes.
So does top 10 mean he's a franchise quarterback? Or
yes.
Okay, I have a higher level of franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll say no on the franchise thing, meaning that, you know, is he...
I mean, what do you mean when you're saying that? I mean, do you mean an elite-level quarterback? No.
No, it's like porn. Potter Stewart, the Supreme Court Justice, you know it when you see it. You know what a franchise quarterback
is. Okay, so there's only 3 to 5 of those guys. He's not one of those. But if he were my starting quarterback, I'd feel pretty good. And if he were this team's starting quarterback, I'd consider that a win. I consider that level of quarterback a good, you know.
He'd still be, if he were here, he'd be the best quarterback in the AFC East. No
follow
question.
Up to Brady. So, right.
Yeah.
So he
would be the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Whatever makes you feel better at night, call him whatever you want. Okay.
No, I think I'm being consistent and fair.
Bill in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Bill.
Gentlemen, do you think Derek Cole is going to have a problem or some awkward moments when he meets his new team in spring training?
So why would Garrett Cole have a problem with the Yankees? He was just a pitcher. He wasn't doing anything.
Why? That's what I was just going to say.
I think the guy's saying he was on the Astros. Remember, it was a pitcher. It was a former Astros pitcher, Fiers, who sort of, you know, was the one who unearthed all this. So we can't just say the pitchers didn't know anything about it, because if it's not for Mike Fiers, we don't know anything about it. And they beat the Yankees a couple of times in the ALCS, so... That's what the guy's referring to.
Okay.
You think there'll be an issue?
I was going to say, how much of a problem do you think the players really have with each other? Because I don't sense one. I mean, there's been, you know, some chirping, but for the most part, you would think there'd be open revolt from the pitchers. And I haven't really heard it.
No, because again, look, I told you, nobody in baseball holds anybody else accountable. None of them do. The commissioners don't hold the owners accountable. The owners don't hold the executives accountable. The fact that this is happening now, they were forced to do it. There was nowhere to go because the thing went public. I have lost the faith in the leadership of the game and the accountability of the game more than I ever have before. They're killing their sport. Okay, this isn't just about the cheating thing. Okay, this is about multiple levels. They're killing their sport. And you know what? If they're going to let it die. Kill it.
You?
This
kill
is
it. Come on, man. You have a Hall of Fame vote.
No.
I don't give a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame vote.
He wants to rename the baseball reporters the wrestling reporters and have Stu take over, do a wrestling hour every day.
Seriously, kill it. Because the sport sucks. The game sucks now.
Wow. I mean,
the game has sucked for more than a couple of years. It blows. And people want to say, well, the sign-stealing thing, that's why home runs went up. Well, strikeouts went up, too. So, like, I'm just telling you, the whole thing, the whole attitude in Major League Baseball blows. Their attitude blows. The players are arrogant dirtbags. The whole thing sucks. The product sucks. The whole, the accountability factor, the absence of it blows. I have less faith in baseball to fix its problems than I ever have before.
Wow.
So we've got to put this to the This Week in Baseball theme music.
That's
perfect. It's like,
can I say something quickly just on this baseball? I do think for them to really send a message that they have to punish the players. There has to be a punishment for the players. And it's interesting. If you read what Manfred said, with the exception of Cora, it was player driven and player executed. Not a single player gets punished. They're the ones who benefit the most from the electronic sign stealing. And I think if you really want to root it out of the game, you have to punish them. And
okay,
I think,
so who'd you punish on the Astros?
Well, they said there were so many guys involved.
How would you punish them?
That's kind of what I'm getting to. Like, his rationale for not punishing them was, well, almost every player on the team was involved in this and was around it. So it's like...
So you suspend them all?
So it's too hard to punish them.
So you suspend them all?
So you don't suspend anybody?
Well, I mean, you can fine them.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, fine them all.
Okay,
what is
that suspensions?
To? Well, but it puts it on record, Maz. It puts it on paper. You know, he was punished for sign stealing.
Yeah. And going to stop him from doing it?
No, well, I mean...
I would suspend guys.
The money won't, but... At least it gives you something. At least there's a name to it, and he's not just saying you all have immunity.
Yeah, which is what he's done. Yeah,
I'm not even going to mention.
I like the way he did it.
At least you put it on a list.
I like the way he did it because he went after leadership, and he said, "No, listen."
I do both.
The Yeah, the kids in the classroom are always going to go nuts if you let them. They're always going to go nuts. So you got to have someone there that's going to really crack down on them. And you need a manager to go in and say, listen, do you understand the consequences of this? You guys will get away with it. My ass will get fired, so cut the crap.
Yeah, but they might. If I'm a player and I can make millions of dollars, I don't give a rat's ass about the manager. I don't care.
Exactly.
I can make money, then I'm going to do it. And I'll just leave the manager out of it, and he won't know. We'll just cut him out. I hit a couple more home runs. I cash in an arbitration, and he's going to get whacked for it if I get caught. fine by me.
Right.
I'll take that paycheck every day of the week, which is why it's incumbent upon the Players Association to not make the same mistakes they made with the steroid thing. They need to stand up here and say, we want a level playing field too. You've seen some players come out and advocate for punishments. Cody Bellinger, Trevor Bauer, Alex Wood, those guys have basically advocated in social media that they think players should be involved in the punishment too. Fires, a player, was the first one. He ratted on this. So I find it hard to believe that those are the only four players in the MLB Players Association who want to see fellow players punished in this thing.
Yeah, so they'll all cash in on it, which makes them all dirtbags. That's exactly what I said. None of them are accountable. None of them have any sort of moral compass. They don't want to do the right thing. They're dirtbags.
It's great.
So I just don't think you can suspend all the players.
Janzo in Providence. Go ahead, Janzo.
I just think that Chris helps prove your point, Felger, that I think it plays to your narrative that Brady isn't always the sexiest. There's always someone having better stats season like Kirk Cousins. But at the end of the day, Pats get the bye. They have their teams in a better position to win, like Jimmy G does this season for the 49ers.
Okay, I don't quite get your point, but I mean, he benefits from the bye. He benefits from being at home. I mean, those are great, great perks. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, this is his fourth conference title game. All of them have been on the road, which is, you know, and I don't levy this as a criticism or bad luck. The Packers deserve that. They take weeks off during the year. They'll go into a game they should win and they don't show up. They'll go on the road to California and just totally mail it in. And so they end up with a loss here or there, and they get them to the NFC title game. They're on the road. The Patriots, certainly their division helps, but they don't cough away games. They take care of business routinely, consistently, and so they get buys, they get home games. And I mean, Brady's hardly played on the road in the playoffs. Hardly ever played on, I mean, comparatively speaking, he's played like a handful of road games in the last 15 years. It's unbelievable. They're never on the road because when they get a bum on the schedule, they take care of it almost every single time. And that's a huge part of their success. Huge. No other team does it like that. Eddie in Somerville. Go, Eddie.
Hi, Felger. I'd like to hear some actual reasoning as to why you think that Garoppolo has been a better quarterback than Cousins. They have pretty similar stats, except for Garoppolo has more than double the picks. I know a lot of people talk about Cousins' record in prime time. He's obviously sucked in a few of them, but if you actually look at the games, he's actually performed a lot of them. I think the win-loss is not actually indicative of his performance.
Oh, I think he plays like a Sally half the time. He doesn't take chances. He doesn't push the ball down the field. I've seen him in so many primetime games where it's just, look at the rush check down, look at the rush check down, look at the rush check down. He doesn't put himself out there. He doesn't take chances. He doesn't push the ball down the field. Oh, he's scared, conservative. And that, I guess he was 0-8 in primetime, 0-9 in primetime, something like that. I see it. When I watch it, I see it.
Yeah, and you'd never won a postseason game until this postseason, right?
And then which
means Garoppolo already has more postseason wins than Cousins does?
He played well in that game, Cousins did. But I've just seen so many other games where he doesn't do enough to affect the offense.
Or I should say he has as many postseason wins as Cousins does.
He's not a playmaker. But so anyway, Chris, at least this week we'll be on the same page, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he has a great game against Green Bay,
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a rooting interest. Go ahead, Jimmy. Give it to him. Go, Pack, go! Right? Come on, you, me, and Murray this week.
Okay, yeah, I'm in.
Let's go. Come on, again. Dude, let's go.
Go, Pack, go!
But good luck getting Chris to wear a cheese hat unless it says Louis Vuitton on it or something like that.
I'll tell you what, I have a Lambeau Field winter hat that I got when the Patriots played there. I didn't get Packers because I knew I'd get ripped by Patriots fans. So I just bought one that's just Lambeau Field, like you can buy just Fenway stuff. So on Sunday, I'll sit down on the couch and pull on that Lambeau Field hat.
And I'm sure that got Patriots fans off your back.
Yeah. All right, so you, me, and Murray this week.
All right.
Chris, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
Back to your wonderful phone calls. Stu, you got to give that to me one more time to break, please.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened, but it came from within. And that, when I first heard about it, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know, but to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
Okay, apparently that comment, Jess Mendoza on ESPN Radio, that cost her gig, which makes me nauseous. Like, now we're going to start firing people over something like that? Just gross. Be that as it may. Maz didn't like the comment either.
No, look, again, it shouldn't cost her job. It's not like she said something that is, you know, inflammatory or hurtful to people or anything of the like, you know, special interest, whatever. You get the idea.
Yes, I get the idea.
I look at the whole thing and I say, so wait a minute. Mike Fiers is wrong, what, because he told the truth? That's why he's wrong? He made a mistake? The game is hurt by it? I want the game hurt by it. The game should be hurt by it. When there's something going on like this, everybody has a right to know there should be a price to pay. The game should be hurt by it. The game should be hurt by a lot of things that are going on because I think the quality of Major League Baseball and the overall accountability of Major League Baseball sucks. I do. I think the game on the field sucks. I think the attitudes of the people who run it, from the commissioner to the owners to the executives to the union officials, all of them, I think their attitudes suck. I think the game's way too loose overall. They get away with way too much and there's no accountability. And this thing was proof. I'm glad Mike Fiers went public with it. Glad. So now, again, she shouldn't lose her job over this. I have other issues with her in terms of working for the Mets and being on the broadcast at the same time. It's like, so you're going to criticize the Mets if you're calling a game in the Mets? Like, that just right. doesn't seem to work.
Right.
Okay? So I had questions about that from the beginning. I just, you know, I got nothing against her. In fact, I kind of like her on the broadcast.
I do, too.
But I don't like the take about Mike Fiers shouldn't have said anything publicly. It's the only way things change is when there's public pressure.
Okay, back to your phones. On everything, a lot of you have been waiting very patiently. Thank you for doing so. Dakota in Braintree on his great landline on the Celtics. Hi, Dakota.
So before I get to the Celtics, early on in the football season, the Patriots, right? Remember, no Gronk. I told you guys this offense was pathetical. They were done then, okay? Second game of the season, I talked to you guys, told you that this big three was going to be a problem. Excuse me, the fraud three, okay? It is clearly evident. Now, the NBA trade deadline is coming up Thursday, February 6th.
What is their big three, Dakota? What is their big three?
The fraud three, the Hayward, Tatum, and Brown
okay,
combination.
Thank you.
That the second game of the season, and it was evident, and you were talking, me and you were saying, you know, it wasn't all Kyrie, it was these three guys needing the ball. And you know what I hate? Every time I turn on the TV, they talk about, oh, those three guys, their net rating is 7, it's top in the league. That's only part of the problem. First of all, they're three top scorers. They should have a net rating that's pretty decent. But the problem is, it's when they're not on the court, or they start to jumble. They're not in motion, they don't get the touches, they're not in flow. I think these three guys, the Celtics record is like 500 this year when they're all three in a game. Mm. Like, that's pathetic. Really pathetic. And you know what, Marty, you there?
Yeah, hi.
Okay, get your declaration of redundancy ready, okay, for February 6th. Because if Danny doesn't do anything and move Hayward, okay, by the 6th, he has the chance, okay, to really screw this up because Haywood's a flight risk. If he decides to walk on his max contract, the Celtics will never get that 30-plus million back. They need to move Haywood now, get somebody in here that's going to help them out defensively and big and be a role
player.
That's
an interesting point. If he walks, they're over the cap and they don't get that slot back. But if they trade money for money, they can stay over the cap. It's a good point.
It is a good point.
So this brings in sign and trades.
I don't know if it's is that true, though?
I don't know. You know, the rules in that league. I'm sure there's sign and trades, blah, blah, blah. But, Stu, do you believe still? How are your numbers there with Tom Brown, Tatum, and Hayward? Are you still tracking that?
They're plus +7.
You know, as he just said. But is that good? I mean, yes. I'd like to see that net rating adjusted. In other words, against teams above 500.
Right, real teams.
So, you know, something like that. So they did that to the Pelicans. Like, what did they do last night? Hayward had one field goal, and it was a buzzer-beating sort of prayer. Like, he didn't even really mean to or want to shoot. That he had one freaking basket from the floor.
7 points in 32 minutes in a game of that magnitude.
He was invisible. Life. You didn't notice him on the floor. And he so his one basket came at the end of the third quarter. He attempted another three, missed it. Like that made him 0-for-8 or whatever at the time. And then the clock's ticking down, and there was a loose ball. It came back to him, and he just chucked it up at the buzzer. It went in. That was his one field goal, for crying out loud.
I got to say, Dakota's not the only one. I have been tweeted at a few times, people clamoring for a Celtics declaration of doneness, and I'm not there yet. But
Murray?
February 7th, I might have to change this.
Draft it.
All right.
Draft the paperwork.
Hell yeah.
I'm not signing yet, but draft it.
I just signed it before the season.
Here's
Mally. You watch, they'll be in the finals. You watch.
Mally in the motherland, whatever this means. Go ahead, Mally.
Hey, guys. I just want to know what you think about this. Maybe Houston and Boston benefited the most from the sign stealing, but do you think it's a coincidence that there were more home runs hit last year than any year ever, including the steroid ever? Because I don't. I think every team does it.
No, the home runs weren't because, I mean, I'm sure that the sign stealing helped the home run total, but it was because they juiced the balls or took the size down on the seams. I'm not saying this properly.
Yeah, right. They changed the ball. The ball was carrying farther.
They changed the ball, which occurs to me too, Maz. Everyone's dinking around with something in
right.
that game.
Right.
You know, the owners are dinking with the ball. The pitchers are dinking with the pine tar. The batters are dinking with sign stealing. Everyone is sneaking around doing something.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, I mean, I do blame the players, but maybe a small part of me doesn't when they say, what is it? The game doctors the equipment when they want a certain result, too. And you're going to look at us?
Okay, but again, if you're going to doctor something, at least doctor something that affects everybody the same.
Which they do.
Right? So, which is why I've said in the past, if home runs go down, juice the ball a little bit. And then all of a sudden, if home runs go too far up, then unjuice the ball. Okay, deaden the ball. But the caller says, you know, home runs, historic year for home runs. True. They've set strikeout records how many years in a row? So it's not just the video. It's the overall analytics, the approach to the game. The game on the field sucks. It sucks. And I have no faith that they're going to fix it. The cheating scandal is just a part of it.
Travis in Rhode Island on the Celts. Hi, Travis.
Hey, calling about it might be time for Brad Stevens to go about his business because I don't see him being able to get these guys to play at their level. Because we've seen what these guys can do, but I don't think Brad can get them there on a consistent basis.
Well, Travis, it's been a while since we've looked at the Celtics and said the coach is getting more out of them than they have on paper. And I think that was it. That was the case certainly for the first 2-3 years of his run. I'd say that year that Kyrie got hurt, you categorically would say that. They go to Game 7 of the East Finals, fourth quarter of Game 7 of the East Finals, without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, you say Stevens is, you know, since that point, it doesn't feel like they're getting more than the sum of their parts. So this is fair. This is now 2 years running. I feel like they've underachieved.
Okay, but you said earlier, too, how many wins are they on pace for?
55. But they don't.
But lately, you look
to me, they don't look like a real team.
Yeah, and you look at these slow starts, too. I think it's fair to question his motivational tactic at the very least.
You bet. Put him on the list. Absolutely. Mark and Medford on the Bees here on Agenda Free Friday. Go, Mark.
Hey, my two quickies on the Bruins, and then I'll hang up. Torrey Krug last night. What he did, stepping up, showing leadership, taking on a bigger opponent, and I think got the edge in that fight at the end.
Yep.
Do you think Neely and Sweeney look at that and say, you know what, We can't let this kid walk. We got to try and work something out with him. And I think he, Torrey Krug helped his cause last night. And on Tuukka Rask, I know he announced that he wasn't going to the All-Star game. But now that he's on IR, is he exempt from that one-game suspension?
I don't know. It's interesting. It'd be an interesting way to weasel out of it. I don't really care about that. The Krug thing, you know, look, they've signed all their guys early. You know, Coyle's just the latest that got signed early before he even gets to free agency. Krug is up this year and they haven't signed him, which tells you, you know, he's a flight risk. He's growing on me too. You know, I thought he was flawed, overpaid for what he is, but he's a big part of their DNA. And I think the Bruins do have good DNA. Not perfect, and they still need more toughening up, and I'm not telling you that, but I think in general, I think they have the right mindset, and they have for a while, and I think he's a big part of it. And it does show you something. Him taking on Hornquist there, who's he's a little bit out of his weight class, his size class, and I think Krug gets it. He's one of these guys that I think he's value add to that team. The problem is he's going to cost you $7, $8 million a year. I don't think they have the room for that.
I mean, look, it's hard not to love his heart. Like, how do you hate that? I mean, he almost, you know, people here already built statues of him after that hit in the finals last year, for crying out loud. So, and you know, I don't think he won the fight last night, but he didn't get his ass kicked, and he did come back at the end. And so, I mean, I was impressed by that, too. I like him, too. I just wouldn't give him that much money.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts, plus one more, another cheating accusation today. I love it. All these players are pointing fingers at other teams, other executives. People are taking out the hatchets, Murray. They're settling old scores. And something tells me Blackjack McDowell and Tony La Russa did not have the best relationship because McDowell got back at him today. You'll hear McDowell's accusation against La Russa when we come back with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's going to go after that. It's the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
That's Jack McDowell. So the camera wasn't in the Gatorade sign. There was a light in the Gatorade sign. Toggle switch in the manager's office. Camera on home plate. And that's how they would get fastball curve to the guys.
Yeah, right. Again, and I don't know if it was like turn the light on and it's a fastball or you blink it and it's a breaking ball.
Well, Bobby Thompson, there was a light out in the outfield of Polo Grounds.
Same idea. Paul Revere, one if by Lano, one if fastball, two if curve.
Oh, there's no question that La Russa is dirty to me. I mean, the steroid teams, good point. That's those St. Louis teams, always something up their sleeve, always. So, yeah, and it has the ring of truth to me.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Okay, we continue with this. And your thoughts, your calls, Mike and Woburn on the Jess Mendoza sound. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I'm here to defend Mendoza and call out all the phony outrage, all the phony morality in baseball. Where were all these guys? Remember all these guys shaming the reporter that pointed out the Andro in McGuire's locker?
Right.
They all these St. Gammons pointed out how he violated the sacred trust of the locker room while he was ignoring, like, you know, the guys with more needles in them than a methadone clinic.
Right.
You know, and all these guys, and Gammons comes out yesterday on the news or on the Twitter machine, which he actually worked correctly for once. And says that I don't know how any of the staffs of these teams implicated in the cheating can like go to other places and work because they're so like, you know, tarnished now. Like La Russa isn't tarnished. Guys from his Oakland team are dropping dead now from heart attacks because they were so gassed up. Remember Tony Phillips?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died of a heart attack. It's going to be like the, it's going to be like the 70 Steelers again.
Yeah.
When all these guys start dropping, Jess Mendoza is in trouble because she told the truth. Mike Fiers is a rat, and he should be castigated because you know what? He didn't come out and say they were cheating when he was on the Astros. No, he came out and said it after he had his nice two-year deal all wrapped up in Oakland, and then he spilled the beans and turned his back on all those teammates. So that, you know, Evan Bernstein and Woodward can go out and act like they've just busted the Watergate investigation again.
So somebody just stop. That is a fair point, that Fiers didn't blow the whistle till he was out of there.
Correct. So that one, I didn't complain about that part of it either. But, you know, so the fact that, and I don't love that either. But telling the truth is better than not telling it at all. So I couldn't disagree with Mike more. I mean, like, you know, so now the guy comes out and says, listen, by the way, there's some pretty crappy stuff going on there. And everybody knew it, and this is how it worked. And so we're all going to blame him now? So, and I'm not, you know, the thing with the Andrew reporter and Mark McGuire, and that goes back a long ways, and that reporter was, you know, really made shame of publicly. Like, that wasn't right. I'm not going to sit here and defend that now. Like, you know, so the problem in baseball is there's no accountability. You walk into the locker room and there's stuff in the locker room, but you're not supposed to see it. So, sorry, if you're doing something wrong, it's on you. If you're doing something wrong, it's on you. Stop blaming someone else or expecting them to cover for you.
Spencer's in Georgia waiting patiently. Go ahead, Spencer.
Oh, no worries. My take's kind of changed. With all this news that they're going to look at, like, doing alternative methods to get the pitcher and the catcher, do you think John Henry's got a calculator in his pants thinking about the idea of Carmine communicating with the catcher and the pitcher and getting the right pitch in for analytics?
You know what? If it's quicker, I'll take it. I mean, the computers are basically calling the pitches anyway.
Yep.
I mean, because the catcher gets all the data from the nerd upstairs and the manager gets a 3-ring binder from the nerd upstairs, and that's their quote-unquote game plan. So the computer spits out, you're going to pitch this guy hard in and then soft away or whatever. So they're getting it from the computer anyway. Cut out the middleman, get it right to the pitcher. If it's quicker, fine with me. Carmine's calling the pitches anyway. So
yeah, look, there was that Yahoo story, and I'm talking about the one that had the random number generator and the lights on the mound.
Yeah.
The idea that they're going to institute some sort of protocol or electronics that would, you know, alter the way pitchers are called and delivered. And that story said that most of it's turning to the dugout anyway.
Which, i.e., Carmine.
Right. It's all, you know, again.
Game plan.
Right. Totally. They're looking this stuff, they're printing it out, and they're calling the game from the dugout. The catcher doesn't have to do the work anymore.
Dylan in Boston on Jimmy G.
Yeah, I called yesterday. I was the guy stuck in the hallway. But I got to ask, like, does Gasper and Murray, like, do they think Tom Brady's going to be, like, friends with them if they hate on Jimmy all the time?
Yes, I think they do.
It's like, it's elementary school stuff. Like, oh, my friend doesn't like you, so I can't like you.
It's something like that.
Yeah, I pick a side. You know, I'm okay with picking a side.
You know, fair enough, taking a side and stuff. But, I mean, the guy, he's done everything that the Niners have asked him to do. He doesn't complain. He never whines about his numbers. If the ball, it's like Tom Brady in 2003, 2004 winning Super Bowls. It's the same thing.
Yeah, no. That's good game management. What Jimmy does is somehow a negative. But I can't answer for these guys. They have an issue with it. That's their cross to bear. That's their issue to work out. I can't. I'm here on planet Earth. He's done everything they've asked him.
Yeah, I'm just simply rooting for my take. And what I see is a game manager who the coach doesn't trust because he's afraid he's going to throw the game away with his small hands, either with an interception or a fumble, which he's prone to do. And so they lean on the running game a little bit more. And they
so his hands are a problem now?
Yeah. Yes. No, you haven't heard the small hand thing?
No, I know that the hand, but that's a problem.
Yes. Oh, Murray brings it up.
Even if he can deliver the ball, small hands
small
are a criticism.
Hands. Small hands.
Doesn't Patrick Mahomes have small hands?
I have no idea. Who do you like this weekend, Miss?
I like Kansas City and San Francisco, but I don't feel good about either one. Can I say that? Is that like a
talk to Stu about it?
That's fancy. That's a little fancy.
Oh, it's totally fancy. I mean, I'll tell you what really what concerns
what happened
me.
To this show?
I'll tell you what concerns me. Here's what concerns me.
Wait a minute. He's tried to blow up the entire sport of baseball today. You shouldn't have any recourse. Maz is hedging a little bit on this.
Oh, more on that in the final word, by the way.
No, you're asking me to predict the future.
Yeah,
I can't predict who's going to win a game.
Exactly. That's dumb.
Okay? So all I can tell you is this. What bothers me about San Francisco Green Bay is that the Niners obliterated them in the first game. And whenever there's a blowout like that, there's almost never a blowout the second time. Okay, so that scares the crap out of me. I want the Niners to win. On the other side, if you were ever going to build a team to beat Kansas City, what would you want to be able to do?
Run the ball.
Power run the ball. Shove it down their throats, and Tennessee can do that. So, like, I think they're both going to be tight. I think they're both going to be close games. I'd bet the underdog in both.
Who do you got, Murray?
Niners and Tennessee. I don't know. I want to talk myself into Green Bay, but they got absolutely annihilated there. And that was late in the season. And I know Rodgers looked good. Maybe I'll just put the reverse jinx on them. But I think the Niners and Tennessee, it's 20 years since the Music City Miracle. This run is real. They beat Kansas City earlier in the season. They can run it right down their throat.
Oh, God, if Kansas City loses this game, you choking pigs.
I think their history catches up with them. It almost did last week.
Lose this game at home against a middler. I'm sorry. Tennessee's on a nice run. I don't want to take anything away from them. But they are an AFC middler.
Ryan Tannehill.
They are your classic 9-7, 6-seed, you know, blow them out in the wild card weekend kind of team.
See, this is why I think it's such a huge game for Reed. If they were to lose again, oh, my God.
So I like Kansas City on that side. I actually like the Packers in this game, and I never liked the Packers, and I'm always wrong, so that doesn't bode well for me because I, you know, when I look at them, I thought Seattle would have beat them, and I would really like Kansas City over them in the Super Bowl, but this week, I like the Packers, and the one thing that intrigues me as a Packer fan, if you care, which I know you don't.
I do.
Would be just the Rodgers thing that he's got, you know, he knows he doesn't have very many chances at this. He knows this might be his last great chance at another championship. He needs it to sort of separate from the pack that he's in. And the pack that he is in is, you know, who's the second greatest quarterback of this era? Not that he looks at it that way. He would look at it and say, this would elevate me to one of the greats of all time. But right now he's in the pack of these other really good quarterbacks of this era, whether it's Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger or Peyton Manning or what. He's in that grouping. And he's just in that grouping. He's, you know, some people would have him a little higher. Some people would have him a little bit lower. If he wins a second and is a big part of it, like I would put him ahead of all those guys behind Brady. And so I think that's, so maybe he realizes this. And he has not played well this year. He hasn't played well for a couple of years. But he was terrific in that game when it mattered. And that's sort of intriguing to me. Does he see it? Is he responding to the moment and the pressure and the historical things that are in play for him? And is he responding accordingly? And that would interest me as a Packer fan, that he's sort of stepping up and playing this way when it matters most. That would be a good story to me.
How do you watch this game? That's what I'm interested in.
It's hard. It's hard.
Because the kids are into it, but do you want the kids around? Like, because don't you want to yell and say horrible things?
Oh, no, I'm talking more about the Blanami on the other side. So either I'm going to get one set of crybabies either way that I have to deal with. The first is the, oh, how do you like Aaron Rodgers now, Felger? Oh, I guess he isn't that good. Oh, Aaron Rodgers and Brady, oh, don't you feel stupid? So if Rodgers loses, I got to deal with that. If Garoppolo loses, it's, oh, I guess Jimmy G isn't the next guy. Oh, you know, Murray and Gasper.
Oh, he's
a little sidecar. Could he come through? Could he? Mm-hmm. You got to deal with one set of babies or the other.
Oh, I'd rather you deal with the Rodgers babies. Yeah, because otherwise we're both going to get it. I'd just as soon celebrate Garoppolo.
So I can't win, but on the other hand, I can't lose. Either it's Rodgers, which I'd be interested in. Fun 2 weeks for me in Miami. Or the consolation prize is
Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so
still, though, you have an answer for my question. Is that a crazed day in
so
the
So Sarah and my oldest are out of the house. It's me and the 8-year-old, and she and the dog are going to know to go in the other room.
Okay.
Oh, I watch the games alone when they're big.
They're going
to
know
anybody around.
They're going to know to go in the other room.
I just hope Tennessee doesn't win because the Titans will F up the Super Bowl. It'll be a good Super Bowl as long as Tennessee's not there.
Anyway, there's your championship game preview weekend. Did you enjoy it? Here comes the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
One piece of sound to get to in the final word today, and it comes from one Anthony Maserati. It's a squeaky Maz. I believe we're going to hear maybe my favorite quote of the year so far. Maz said it earlier, your sport sucks. I hope it does. Was he talking about tennis? Some other sport? No, he was talking about baseball. Maz's beloved baseball.
Jack McDowell saying that they had a camera and a Gatorade sign in center field.
Yep.
And that Tony La Russa put it there.
Yep. These guys are all dirtbags. I've lost so much faith, and it's not just the cheating thing. They're destroying the game. They're ruining it. They're going to kill it.
So when you say they, what do you mean they?
I mean the commissioner, the owners, the GMs. There's no accountability. None. Kill it. Kill it. I think you're all a bunch of dirtbags.
So what do you mean, kill it?
I hope they kill the sport.
Killing the baseball with dirtbags. Killing the baseball with dirtbags. Killing the baseball with dirtbags.
I am now rooting for them to F themselves over. They're all a bunch of arrogant a-holes. Scumbag, dirtbag a-holes. They want to cheat. They don't want to be called on it. They want to make their money, and they don't want to play hard. They couldn't give two craps about the consumer or the spectator. Talk about pulling your pants down and farting in the face of the public. So you know what? I hope you kill your effing sport. I hope you kill it. Crawl under some rock somewhere, and I'll never have to see you again. Fine, don't change. I hope you die. You all suck, all of you. Go to hell.
I do. I feel that way. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Hardy, for that.
I've lost so little. I've lost so much faith, rather, and have so little in the people who run baseball, play it, all of it. They've killed it already.
Master baseball today. You suck, and I hope you die.
Mm-hmm.
That's a take even Jones, I think, could be
proud
of.
Needs to be a T-shirt, by the way.
Yeah, Jones heard it and went, wow, that's negative.
I said, oh, my. It's a good little push, by the way, at the end of that clip that Hardy put in there. Good use by him. We're going to get to baseball, obviously. Burning up the internet streets, burning up the talk waves. We'll get to the Celtics and Bruins as well. But we're going to start with championship weekend, not including the Patriots. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the NFL?
It's a good thing.
Okay.
It is.
Here comes Jones and Arcan.
How do you feel about that, Boston?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No Patriots. Better for the NFL.
Bend over, New England. Here he comes. We'll be back at it Monday at 2. We will be working on the holiday fully loaded program.
Indeed, we will.
So everybody enjoy the weekend and join us Monday at 2. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.